And as you're being seated this morning, you can take your Bibles and turn with us to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10 this morning. And again, always thankful to have visitors and thankful that you've chosen to be with us this morning. And I noticed a new fella slipped in here in the back. Sir, you just want to introduce yourself?
Dan Acorn.
Oh, that's right. You've been here before. That's right. Well, it's good to have you back with us this morning. Make him feel at home and welcome this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll be there in a few moments. The book of Hebrews, of course, a letter traditionally attributed to the Apostle Paul due to its writing style. But even with that being said, its authorship remains debated in some circles. Some say that because of the theme of the book of Hebrews being the superiority of Christ, that the author is not known. And nevertheless, whoever penned this book, we find that it's addressed to Jewish Christians facing persecution. They're facing a temptation to revert to Judaism. The central theme, of course, emphasizes the superiority of Christ over the Old Testament figures, over their practices, over the angels, over Moses and the Levitical priesthood. And within the book of Hebrews, you find several key points, including Christ's superiority, the new covenant, faith and endurance, the call to holiness, warnings. And as you get into the book of Hebrews, you find that it contains within it theological depth. It contains personal and practical exhortations and encouragements, making it a very significant text, making it a very significant book for understanding the relationship between the Old and the New Testaments and how those two come together to make what we have today as our full Bible and as the full gospel message. And this morning, we find ourselves in Hebrews chapter 10. And Hebrews chapter 10 is a very pivotal chapter because it continues the themes established in the earlier chapters 1 through 9, focusing again on the superiority of Christ and his sacrifice, the implications for Christian living, how as Christians, we know the theology behind how we're supposed to live, but practically, how is that put into place in a day-by-day basis? And again, in chapter 10, we have the sacrifice of Christ, we have the new covenant, we have the encouragement to persevere. We have the warnings against apostasy and, of course, the importance of endurance. And overall, Hebrews chapter 10 serves to affirm the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice. The fact that Christ's sacrifice on the cross, it was enough to satisfy the demands of the law. It was enough to satisfy the demands of the Father. It was enough to provide your salvation and my salvation by his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. But it also encourages perseverance in our faith. It also has warnings against the dangers of apostasy. And it also has with it the reinforcement of the call to live out one's faith actively and with authenticity. Where we are this morning, and the verses we're going to look at, it's a very significant portion of chapter 10, as it emphasizes that as believers, we now have access to God. We now have access to the throne. But also, it emphasizes the responsibilities that now as believers we have in the faith. As you read the passage that we're going to look at, you find that we ought to have confidence to approach God. We see Christ as high priest. We have a call to faithfulness. We have an encouragement that is a mutual encouragement to these believers here in the book of Hebrews and chapter number 10. And then you have a mutual responsibility. And the themes here in chapter 10 are several. Number one, you have access to God. Now that as Christians we are saved, we're born again, we can now go to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ and go to Him in prayer, not only knowing that He hears our prayers, but that He'll answer our prayers as well. But not only that, we have encouragement and accountability. And then we have the theme, and this is what we're going to look at this morning in detail, and that is perseverance in our faith. Perseverance in our faith. This segment of Hebrews here in chapter 10, it kind of encapsulates several themes. You have faith, you have community, you have the transformative power of Christ's work on the cross and what that can do for our life that puts their trust and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and provides a foundation for then how as Christians we are to live out that faith in a supportive and encouraging environment. You know, this morning I originally had something else planned entirely for this morning. I had different hymns picked out. I had different scriptures picked out. I had a different message entirely. Monday, Tuesday, I worked on the message. I put it to bed. I looked at it a little bit more on Wednesday, and I thought, yep, that's the message. That's what we're going to have. That's what the Lord wants. But then I saw something that the Lord used to draw me to the book of Hebrews, because what I saw brought these verses to mind. And as I thought about why, and you know, again, today is Back to Church Sunday, and we looked at it a little bit in Sunday school, and you know, why do we push so much the importance of faithful church attendance? And you might say, well, you're the pastor, you have to push faithful church attendance. That's your job. You have to, you know, say, be faithful in the church. That's your job. But really, as we think about why we ought to be faithful to church, as we read these verses, the answer really becomes crystal clear. And so you're there, Hebrews chapter 10. And notice there, if you would, verses 23 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. The Bible says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach us on this thought: hold fast the faith. Hold fast the faith. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this day. And Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word, to see truths that might help us and encourage us to be the church and the Christian you'd have us to be. And now, Father, this morning we just pray that you would come down and meet with us in a special and real way as only you can. Quiet our hearts, quiet our minds. Help us, Lord, to focus on you and you alone. And the Lord, this morning, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray, Lord, they not leave this place without getting that settled 100% sure. that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. Lord, this morning, we pray that if you're seeking to speak to hearts, Lord, we'd give you that permission to do so. And Lord, we pray now, and I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. Help me to be a help to these your people. And Father, I pray that the message would be a help, a challenge, and encouragement. Help me to say those things which need to be said. Help me to refrain from those things which need not be said. And Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, they say that a picture is worth a thousand words. And one of my pastor friends in Maine, he shared this picture here this week on Facebook. It's of a church in Burnsville, North Carolina. And it's the Halls Chapel Baptist Church in Burnsville, North Carolina. And recently, and Brother Kenny alluded to it in his prayer request, and you can see it in the photo, that a private pilot was asked to deliver a generator. He was asked to deliver gasoline and supplies to this church there in Burnsville, North Carolina. It was one of the areas that was hit very hard by Hurricane Helen or Helene or however you pronounce that name. And the only place that this helicopter could land, and you can see it there in the picture, was in a piece of pavement in front of the church. Now, I don't know if you can see it from where you're seated, but on the front of the church, there is a handmade sign hanging in front of the church, service, 11 a.m. Sunday. Service, 11 a.m. Sunday. I want you to think about that for a moment. Here's a church, here's a people, here's a community that their belongings were washed away. Their homes were destroyed. They lost security. They lost access to transportation. Perhaps they lost access to food. They lost power to electricity. They lost access, rather, to power and to electricity. But what they did not lose, apparently by this sign and this picture, is that they did not lose their faith and their trust in the Lord. They did not lose their faith and their trust in Christ. They did not lose their faith and their trust in the Lord. I mean, you just look at this building here, and there's not even four walls anymore. And by the way, that just goes to prove that, again, the church is not the building. The church is the people. You are the church. You see, without you are, there could be no church. Listen, you could this building could stand another 135 years, and if there was not people here to fill it, there would not be a church. The people are the church. And here we see that, I mean, you can see the hill through the back of the church, but yet here they are, and they're still going to meet for worship. They wanted to make sure that they could assemble and have church today. You know, I wonder this morning about our society today. I wonder sometimes about us and, you know, the things that we allow to keep us away from the house of God. The things that we allow to keep us away from the people of God. Well, I woke up today and I got a hangnail as I was getting out of bed. I don't think I can go to church today. Say, Pastor, that's silly. No one would do that. You want to bet? When we were in You know, there was a time when, you know, there were businesses and schools and things that they would respect Sundays. Almost no events would be scheduled on Sundays. Now, you can't go, I dare say, any week of the year where there doesn't seem to be some event scheduled on a Sunday. Boy Scouts, sporting events, all of these things. You know, listen, I'm a big a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles as the next person. Granted, they stink so far this season. They're 2-2. I'm a big a fan as any. And you know what? They're playing, I think, at 1 o'clock today. But you know what? I'm not concerned about making sure church is over in time so we can get home for a football game. Because football is not what's important on a Sunday. The Philadelphia Phillies, they're in the playoffs today. Granted, they lost yesterday. Brilliant pitching performance by Zach Wheeler. 7 innings, shutout baseball. And then the bullpen comes in. And the bullpen gives up 6 runs and they lose 6-2. You know what? I'm glad we have church today so I don't have to watch them. That's how bad they were yesterday. And they've been like that all season. But they won the division. They lucked into the division this year. I'm sure some of you could care less about the Phillies this morning. Yankees fan over here. But I don't, they could, and I think they're playing at 4 o'clock today. But if they were playing at 1 o'clock, I'm not making sure church is over so I can get home for a baseball game. I can record it, DVR it, whatever the case may be. When we were in Oklahoma, we had a big Sunday plan just like today. And the local high school, they were having some type of Christmas thing that in years past they had scheduled it for another day, or if it was on a Sunday, it was later in the day, 2, 3 o'clock, and it was over by 3, 4 o'clock, and so it didn't interfere with church at all. But now they run it to schedule it when church was going on. So I sat down and I penned a very nice letter to the principal of the high school. And apparently some other parents, they were upset. Some other churches did the same thing. And the school, rightfully so, they moved it back to where it should have been. So it did not interfere with church. The same thing on Wednesday nights. There used to be a time when people knew Wednesday night was the midweek service, the prayer meeting, the Bible study. And that was set aside for the worship of the Lord. But I wonder this morning again, you know, what keeps us from the house of God, the people of God? Oh, well, Sister Susie, she had her hair up in a bun, and I don't think she should have had her hair up in a bun, so I'm not going to go to church next week. Or so-and-so, they didn't shake my hand. Even though they always shake my hand, they didn't shake my hand that week, so I'm not going to church ever again. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I mean, we let the silliest things keep us from the house of God and the people of God. You know, I've often said I firmly believe that the church needs each one of us here this morning. But may I also say this morning, you need the church. You need the church in your life. You know, there's a segment of people, they think, well, we can just worship the Lord at home. And by all means, yes, you can. You can worship the Lord right where you are. But that does not change the fact the Lord gave a command for Christians and believers to assemble and to gather. The word church, it comes from the Greek. It means ekklesia, which means a called out assembly. It means we are to gather together in corporate worship of the Lord. I wonder this morning, where would we have been had it not been for the church? You know, and you're probably sitting there saying, well, you're the pastor. That's your job. You're supposed to want faithful church attendance. But listen, I made this decision a long time ago. I remember ninth grade came around. I've told you the story. I was able to go get my working papers for the first time. And I went and got my working papers. I went and got my first job. It was at a GameStop in South Philly. And that was my first job. And I remember I had the interview with the manager. The manager said, "Are there any days you can't work?" And I said, "There's 2 days I can't work, or one day I can't work. I can't work Sundays, and I have to be done by at least 6 p.m. on Wednesdays because I have to go to church. I have to go to church." He said, "Oh, yeah, that's no problem." Well, again, you know, I've told the story, and by the time I started, they had changed managers, and apparently something got lost in communication. And my first shift I was scheduled, they scheduled me for a Sunday during church. Well, there I am, ninth grade. How old am I? 13, 14? I don't remember how old I was. If you think 35 is old, just wait until you're 35, okay?
So you're older than
my
mom. You're older
than her.
I'm older than
who?
My mom. Oh, my God. She's 32, 33.
Moving on. Moving on. But as a teenager, here's my point. As a teenager, here's my point. I had a decision to make. Was I going to take that part-time job that in the grand scheme of things wasn't going to matter a hill of beans to my life? Or was I going to choose church? Well, I chose church. I chose God. I chose to be in church. I had one other shift scheduled, and that was it. And so the job at GameStop didn't last long. I remember I got my first check. It was like, I don't even remember, $20-some or for 4 hours of work or something like that. And then I got the tax return at the time. To just mail that into the IRS, the stamp would have cost more than what was due or what I was going to get back or whatever. Some cents. And so, first time I never filed taxes was for a job at GameStop. And only time I never filed taxes was for a job at GameStop. So I don't think they're coming after me for 35 cents, although with the way the government's going, maybe. But I had a decision to make as a teenager. And listen, there are going to come times in your life where you have a decision to make. God, or you fill in the blank. And I hope that you would say, "I'm going to choose God." And I hope you'd have the faith enough to choose God, to know that God will provide your needs. I want to give you several quick thoughts this morning, and we'll be done, about why we need the church. And they're all here in Hebrews chapter 10. Notice there, if you would, first, verse 23. Verse 23. The Bible says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." So here it is. Here's why we need church this morning. Because number one, church is where you learn to, number one, hold fast the faith. It's where you learn to hold strong to your faith. You see, when you get out in the world's going to try and, again, we looked at it in Sunday school, how in Revelation, God said one day there'll be no more sea. And in Isaiah, we looked at how the sea is a typology, it's a figure, it's a picture of our life as it is today, our restlessness, our constant changing. And right now, life is just like the sea. Restlessness, constant changing. And when you're out in the world, that's what you face on a day-by-day basis. And you need the church to come to a place where you learn to hold to your faith, that your faith becomes unshakable in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where your faith longs to become strong and firm and set upon a firm foundation on the Lord Jesus Christ, and where you don't waver in your faith. Because then why? Why is that? Because look at the last part of verse number 23. For God is faithful that promise. Folks, this morning I want you to know we serve a faithful God. He's faithful. He's real. He's true. And if he's made a promise to you, he's faithful to that promise. And he's going to keep that promise. He never lets you down. He never lets me down. And if he says he's going to take care of you, he's going to do just that. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of your family. He's going to take care of your friends. He's going to take care of your needs. Whatever those needs may be, God will take care of you. And aren't you thankful for that this morning? That God takes care of you. But then not only that, look, verse 24. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You see, church is a place where you ought to be considering one another. Where you ought to consider your fellow brothers and your fellow sisters in Christ. Years ago, I preached a message. And I don't know if I preached it here. But I preached a message. It's not all about you, really. And guess what? Church is not all about you, really. And when we come to church, it ought not to be about your wants and your desires and your way. And if it's not my way, well, I'm going to get fussy and throw a fit and get mad and get angry and blow up and blow out and all the rest. No, the Bible here says, consider one another. How does it benefit everybody else in the church? How does it benefit the church as a whole? We are to consider one another. But then not only that, notice what it says. Verse 24, to provoke. We're to provoke one another this morning. Now listen, some of us, we're really good about provoking one another, aren't we? We're really good about finding somebody and finding what right button to push. But no, that's not the type of provoking it's talking about here. No, it says provoke unto love. As a church this morning, we are supposed to love one another. And then not only are we supposed to love one another, we are to take that love to a lost and dying world and love a lost and dying world and love them to the Lord Jesus Christ and love them to salvation. And then not only that, we're to provoke them a little further and we're to provoke them unto good works. In other words, we come to church to serve God and to serve others. And then finally, notice there, if you would, verse 25. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. You see, these things in verse 23 and 24, they can only happen if you heed the command. And that first starts with don't forsake assembling. In other words, be in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, special meetings, be in church. And you notice the verse says, as a manner of some is. In other words, don't allow others to influence you to miss church. Because listen, when you start missing church, it becomes very easy to miss church. I remember as a kid, I started going to church when I was 9 years old. Lighthouse Baptist Church in South Philly. And I remember one week I slept in and I missed the church van. Oh, okay, I'll just go next week. Well, the next week I slept in. And before you know it, it was a couple of months before I got back in church. Why? Because, man, it sure felt good to sleep in on Sunday mornings. And listen, I'm sure you're the same way. You work all week, maybe Saturday's a busy day with family. How easy would it be to sleep in on a Sunday morning and not come to church? But guess what? You're here. You're faithful. And guess what? That brings honor and glory to God. And that's what he desires this morning. That's what he's worthy of this morning. You know, maybe I remember in high school, 11th grade, if you did good on the state test, you would get either Sixers tickets or Phillies tickets. And I remember one year, I guess I did good on the state test. They came in, they gave me tickets to the Phillies game, and it was on a Wednesday night. And this particular Wednesday night, I remember it because they were playing the San Francisco Giants and Tim Lincecum was pitching. And at the time, Tim Lincecum was still a very good pitcher. Cy Young winner and all the rest. And he was a very good pitcher. Man, I always wanted to see Tim Lincecum pitch. Granted, he was for the other team, but I wanted to see him pitch. And well, again, I had a decision to make. Phillies game or church? Well, again, I made the decision, church. So those tickets just went in my book bag and never got used. Maybe you get a phone call and you say, hey, you want to get together and go here or go there? And you say, well, when is it? Well, it's going to be Sunday morning. Well, I'd love to, but I have another commitment, and that commitment ought to be to church. Not only that, number three, exhort. That word exhort means encourage one another. Again, we see it's, again, not all about you. It ought to be about others. You know, sometimes you need to go through the Bible and do a study on the one another's of the Bible. You'll find a lot of one another's in the Bible. But then notice what it says there in verse 25. And so much the more. In other words, this morning, be faithful and be in church more than you are now. Why? And again, it goes back to what we looked at in Sunday school. Because Christ is coming again. And he's coming soon. And the question this morning is this: will you be found faithful? Will you be found faithful when he comes again? You know, this morning, I don't know about you, but when I miss church, I miss church. I hope you feel that same way. When you miss church, you feel like you miss church. Like you missed out on what God had for you that day. You missed out on the singing. You missed out on the preaching, the teaching, the fellowship. You missed church when you missed church. But folks, this morning, faith is real. Faith is real. God is our source. Jesus is our Savior. And the Holy Spirit is our sustenance. You see, this morning, the church is our safe place. And any attempt to do life without him and his people, especially, and listen, I've never understood this. The trials of life come, and instead of getting into the church, we get out of church. And we run from God. And we run from the people of God. Folks, know when the trials come, you need to get into the church. You need to get into the house of God. You need to get in with the people of God. Because when the trials come, getting away and doing life without him and his people is just not an option. A desire to be with him and with his people. You know, that's something that the world cannot shake. Circumstances cannot break it. And not even the floods of a hurricane can take it. And so today, in Burnsville, North Carolina, a small group of believers in those mountains of North Carolina, who is they face the unthinkable. They've lost more than we could possibly even begin to imagine this morning. They'll assemble in, by the looks of that picture, what appears to be a three-walled building with little to no earthly possessions left to their name. But yet they still made the choice to worship the one who they love and adore, flood or mud or otherwise. and nothing can take that from them. Sure, this morning they have a generator that can produce some electricity, but can I tell you something this morning? I have a feeling, just a feeling, that's not the only source of power that will be present at that little 11 a.m. church service this morning, per that makeshift sign. You know, I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit, the Holy One, comes down. And I pray this morning that they're having church like they never had church before. And I pray that same prayer for us here this morning, that the Holy Spirit of God, because listen, without the Holy Spirit of God this morning, there is no power. And I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit of God comes down and meets with us this morning. And we can say when we leave this place that, man, we've had church like we've never had church before. And so here's your friendly reminder this morning that it's just not the church that needs you. But I guarantee you this morning that you will have certain seasons in life that you will need the church. And this morning we see from Hebrews chapter 10 a reminder of our hope and refuge for our healing. And it's found in the house of God with the people of God. And so this morning, let us hold fast the faith. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet.